Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, let's set our faith in agreement here and pray for Jeannie. And we need to pray for Stephen. Some of you know Stephen. He usually comes whenever we're teaching classes. His sister passed away. Was that last night, Wilmer, or just recently? Just this morning. Amen. So let's go to God in prayer. Amen. Father, we love you and praise you this morning. We come boldly to your throne of grace because we are your children. But we come humbly and reverently because of who you are. You are the Melech HaOlam. You are the King of the universe. You are the creator of all things. You are the sustainer of all things. And Father, I lift up Stephen and his family to you, who's lost a loved one, Lord God, a sister. And Father, I just pray that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, come down upon them, upon that family, Lord God. Give them the peace of God that passes all understanding, Lord. And Father, we lift up Jeannie to you, Lord God. Father, we just come against that disease in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask that you would touch her, heal her, make her strong, and make her heal, whole. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Y'all blessed this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read you something. Before we take up the offering, I want to read something to you. Because my message this morning is about God is a God of blessing. Yes. Amen. God wants you blessed. Yes, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. But in Christendom, in the book of, you know, in most of the kingdom of Christianity, most people, when you ask them what is the theme or what is the point of Genesis, they'll always tell you creation and the fall. But there's really only three chapters that cover creation and fall. But the rest of it, from chapter 12 to chapter 50, and even starting with Noah, God blesses them. Amen. In the creation story, God creates mankind, or God creates the fish, I started to say the fish of the air, the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and he blesses them. Amen. And he blesses them to be fruitful and to multiply. And then on male and female, the Bible says God blesses them to be fruitful and to multiply. And then when Noah steps out of the boat, you know, in Genesis chapter 9, the Bible says that God blessed him and his family. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. And I want to show you something. In your Bible, you'll see the word bless, and it's usually translated from this word, Barak. And but at its concrete meaning is to kneel. All right? I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Its concrete meaning is to kneel, or it can mean to show respect. Okay? Now, let me clear something up for you. Kneeling in front of the flag during the national anthem is not a sign of respect, okay? Just wanted to clear that up in case anybody was wondering, all right? So, but a derivative of this word, Barak, means a gift or a present. So the concrete meaning behind the Hebrew word for blessing is someone who kneels in respect and presents a gift. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God Almighty, 2,000 years ago, knelt before all humanity and gave us the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And it didn't stop there. When the Lord Jesus, as our high priest, sat down at the right hand of God, Bernie, he then poured out his Spirit upon us. Woo, glory to God. Think about that now. The God of creation knelt before all humanity and gave you the gift of life in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. You know, I was talking to a man the other day that I worked with, and we talked about Tom Smith a little bit. But this guy was wanting to talk about Jesus. He didn't know anything about Jesus. And he wanted to talk to me. He contacted me, and I got him for lunch over at Texas Roadhouse, so, you know, that's pretty good. I offered to buy, but he had a gift card, you know. So I said, well, you got a gift card, we'll let you treat, you know. But he doesn't know anything about God. And he said, they told me to start in the New Testament. So I read the whole thing, and then I read the Old Testament. He said, man, there's some brutal stuff goes on in the Old Testament. I said, yeah, but you got to know why. You have to know why. God is a God of blessing. God is a God of love. God is a God of relationship. And I said, when God would destroy the armies before Israel, the enemy before Israel, it was because he was protecting his relation, his covenant relationship with the people he loved. Amen. I told him, I said, listen, I would never tell somebody read the New before you read the Hebrew Bible. I said, we don't call it the Old Testament, we call it the Hebrew Bible. I said, you ought to read that first in order to understand the Jewish commentary. And so I said, did you read the story about the Passover lamb, you know, in the Hebrew Bible? Yeah, yeah. I said, and they painted the blood over the doorstep, right? You saw that? Yeah, yeah. I said, did you remember that Paul said in 1 Corinthians that Jesus is our Passover lamb? He said, yes. I did read that, but I didn't understand it. I said, they took the blood of that lamb in the Hebrew Bible. They painted it on the doorstep. Guess what? Death passed over. Now Jesus is your Passover lamb. The blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart. And guess what? Death's got to pass over. Someday, when you die, someday, your spirit... I thought that was my microphone. Somebody stomping their feet back. When you die, your spirit's going to be with the Lord, amen? And your body's going to wait the sound of that trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise. And in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him. Ooh. God I serve is a God of blessing. Amen? He got over the fall quicker than man did. When Adam sinned, God went out and killed an animal. That's the first picture we see of substitutionary sacrifice. Somebody else dying for someone else's sins. Amen? Man, oh man. So let me show you something about God's blessing. Man, I done preached the whole message. What are we going to do now? I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7, because we are going to take up an offering here in a minute. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm excited about God. Y'all ought to be excited about God. I can't get excited about donkeys and elephants, you know. So I got to get excited about God. You guys caught on to that joke, right? You guys caught on to that joke, didn't you? Hebrews 7. I said, I can't get excited about donkeys and elephants, so I got to get excited about God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7, page 1736, if you got a Bible like mine. I want to show you about blessing. See, you think, I ain't giving a dime every dollar to God. Why does God need my money? He paves his streets with gold. I heard the gates are made out of one big pearl or two big pearls. Well, I don't know about all that, but you know what? You're right, God don't need your money. But you know, in the world we live in, the church does, and it costs money to get the gospel out. Amen? But the thing that God wants most about your tithe is he wants you blessed. Amen? When God gives us a command to obey, it's not because he's got to rule over you. You know, I'm teaching that class on Tuesday. So I dusted off an old movie last night. Braveheart. And you know, they were fighting against tyranny. And they wanted freedom. Now, I don't know if the real Braveheart cried out on his deathbed, freedom, or not, like Mel Gibson does in the movie, you know. But one thing is for sure, there is something inherent in men and women that we long to be free. Yes. Amen. And in our nation right now, there are people who want to give up that freedom. Amen. Amen? But I'm telling you, God wants you free and God wants you blessed. Amen. God wants you free to worship him. Yes. Amen. All right, now let's read here. I want to show you this. Verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and what it means to us. I ask you, bless the reading of your word this morning. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. For this Melchizedek, remember Melchizedek over there? And I think it's somewhere in Genesis, somewhere over there, where maybe 19, something in that general area, where Abraham pays a tithe to Melchizedek, right? Melchizedek means king of righteousness or righteous king. King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. I think it's in Genesis 14. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithe from Abraham. Talking about Melchizedek now. He received a tithe from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Remember, Abraham had the promises of God. Out of you, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation. Amen. Your seed's going to be like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the beach. Now look what he says. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Melchizedek was a better priest than Levi. But Levi is going to be blessed. Now watch. Levi is going to be blessed by Melchizedek because his great-grandfather paid a tithe. Oh, watch. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, watch, paid tithes through great-grandpa Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. You don't think God wants you blessed? I had Terry sing that song on purpose because it talks about and your children and their children being blessed. Because Abraham was faithful to pay a tithe to Melchizedek, who's a type of Christ. Remember, Melchizedek was a high priest. Jesus is a high priest, and we'll prove it here in a minute. And because he paid a tithe to Melchizedek, Levi got a blessing because of his great-grandpa's tithe. See, so when you throw that money in the offering plate, there's something on that. There's an anointing on that offering that will cause even your great-grandchildren to be blessed through that. Amen? Oh, somebody help me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I got to show you something. Remember, Genesis 12, 2 through 3. What did God tell Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. And Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Woo! How'd that happen? Well, Abraham was obedient. Oh, by the way, don't tell our Jewish friends, but Abraham started out a Gentile. He was from Babylon, Ur of the Chaldeans. Okay? Wasn't any Jews yet. Okay? And the term Hebrew comes from the root word Eber, which means to cross over. So Abraham would have had, from Ur of the Chaldeans, he would have had to cross over the Tigris and the Euphrates River. So that made him a Hebrew, right? Because he crossed over. But wait a minute. I say we're all Hebrews. Because we crossed over out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. So we crossed over. Right? So Abraham crosses over. Abraham he has Ishmael first. We're still paying for that one. He has Ishmael first. Then he has Isaac. Okay? And then later on, he would have six or seven other sons with Keturah, one of them being Midian. And Midian ends up being an arch enemy with the children of Israel. You know, you got old Gideon, you know, in the book of Judges. He's out there behind the threshing floor. He's threshing a little wheat, hiding from the Midianites. You know, so like Katrina said, you know, your sins do have consequences, and they do affect other people. Yeah. Amen. Your disobedience affects more than just you. All right, now, let's get back to the blessing. All right? I want to show you something. So the point is, when we pay our tithe this morning, think about the fact that your great-grandchildren can be blessed through the tithe you pay. According to Hebrews 7. So the fact, now watch, I want to show you the heart of God. We've already said this, we'll say it one more time. God doesn't want your money. God wants His children blessed. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, He gives you, you know, dime, He gives you 90 cents out of every dollar. Amen. I think that's, and He blesses you. Let's go over, let me show you something. I had no plans of doing this. Go over to the Italian prophet Malachi. If you find Matthew, go left. Okay? That's Malachi. Okay? Go over to old Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Look what he says. You know, let's start in verse 6 because it's just good. It had nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but it's just a good passage of scripture. Besides that, you know, I hate to read one scripture out of context. So, you ready? You got page 1271. You got a Bible like mine. Malachi 3:6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you." Oh, what a promise. Do you know what? How many of you ever got away from God in your life? Amen. And how many of you returned back to God? And did He not return to you? Sure He did. Says the Lord of hosts, "But you said, in what way shall we return?" God says, "Will man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me." See, you keep that tithe, it'll bring a curse on you. Did God do that? No. The curse is inherent in the command. You get to choose whether you're going to be blessed or whether you're going to be cursed. And the heart of God is not to curse, it is to bless. Amen. Verse 9. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." God says, man, this even affects the whole nation. Amen. If my blessing can affect my grandchildren, if tithing and the blessing of God is good for my great-grandchildren, then my disobedience, the curse, could come upon them also, wouldn't you say? Right here it says a whole nation. God says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, why would God say, bring all the tithe into the storehouse? Well, some people were able to tithe money. Sometimes they tithe off their grain and their agriculture. Okay? So you bring it into the storehouse. The storehouse is where you're fed. God says, so there may be food in my house. Amen? It's where you're fed. All right? Then we jump down to, let me go back here to the second part of verse 10 on the next page, if you got a Bible like mine. It says, the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Can I tell you something about the United States of America? This country was founded on the Word of God. Amen. Yes. Amen. And because it was founded on the Word of God and the rule of law that was based on the commandments of God, we have been a blessed nation. Amen. And as long as we walk in obedience to God, God's hand of blessing will be upon us. However, just like in our class, you're going to see this week. Last week we talked about Patrick of Ireland. And everything, Patrick's purpose and destiny, and how he fulfilled it, how it had a great impact on the Irish of Ireland and on the Scottish when he sent Irish missionaries to Scotland. And then, you know, he just kept making disciples, and his disciples made the disciples. And then they had Irish and Scottish missionaries went over to England and made England a Christian nation. But all through history, we see times of revivals, times where people are serving God, and then times when they grow cold to God. And that's when the enemy tries to come in. This week, our history portion of our class will be about Alfred the Great and how Alfred the Great faced the Viking hordes. They were pretty wicked because the people of England had gotten away from their biblical foundation. Amen. And so America has been blessed, but there is an element in America that keeps pulling us and pulling us and pulling us away from that foundation. Amen. That's why it's important, and we've heard it over and over again, but it's true. If my people will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. Amen. Glory to God. Let me show you something. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. I'm so excited. And I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I think I... Ain't that the way it's on? You guys didn't know I could sing and dance, did you? Still don't, right? Hallelujah. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ahad, one. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. God said where his people dwell in unity. And unity is not sameness. We all don't look alike. We all don't go to the same church. Okay? Right? But unity speaks of the God we serve. Amen? If America would be in unity when it comes to the God we serve, then we wouldn't have such division in our nation today. But God said, where the brethren dwell in unity, We can break this all the way down to a church. Amen. When there's division in a church, the church will die. But where there's unity in the church, then the anointing of God will be there. The psalmist is trying to paint you a picture. When they anointed priests and kings in the Hebrew Bible, they took a big old horn of oil and they poured it all on them. And it ran down their head, down their beard, down their garment. What the psalmist is trying to tell us is when the brethren are in unity, the presence of God is like that oil. It's heavy, it's thick, like that oil that ran down Aaron's head and his beard and down on his garment. He says when the brethren dwell in unity, it's like the dew of Mount Hermon. The dew that ran down off the mountain, so heavy, so thick, it watered the valley beneath it. Amen. You know, I read one man here recently. He said God's presence, God's miracles. He said they're a little bit like dew. He said dew doesn't arrive with lightning and thunder with a lot of fanfare. You just go out in the morning and walk through your grass and your feet's wet. And he said that's the way God is sometimes. You're so busy, you don't notice he's there. But then you go out in the yard and your feet's wet. Or you go to your refrigerator and there's something to eat. Or you got up in the morning. You're blessed, amen? Your bills are paid. You're blessed. Living in America, just living in America, we're more blessed than the rest of the world. So, but God said, where you dwell in unity, that's the presence of God is. And he said, that's where the commanded blessing lies. Let's go over to Numbers 6. Numbers chapter 6. Not lies as in not telling the truth. Lies like it's laying there. Okay, that's where the commanded blessing is. Numbers chapter 6. This is the commanded blessing that I'm about to read you. The one the psalmist is talking about. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Numbers chapter 6, page 183. Got a Bible like mine. Verse 22. Oh, praise you, mighty God. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them. Now, this is what the high priest would do. I can't do it. He would hold both hands like that. You remember Mr. Spock sign? You know? Yeah, see, Bernie can do it. Well, kind of. Your fingers are even more crooked than mine. Yeah, Bernie can spread them out like that. You guys, I can't. Okay? So that's the way Spock would do. You know, on Star Trek. All right? Leonard Nimoy. So that's how the priest would do it, is hold his hands up. And he would say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you, that's a reference to God as Father. Amen. Because it was the father of the home, the grandfather of the home, that would bless and keep or provide and protect that family. He says, make his face shine upon you. That's an idiom for God's favor. God's favor to be upon you. I'm sure that when baby girl down here was a baby, that Bernie held her up in the air like this and made faces at her and kissed her face. Just close your eyes for a minute and just picture God picking you up like that, face to face. Amen. Glory to God. Let me keep going here. And he says, and be gracious to you. Verse 25. You know, God has been gracious to all of us. How many of you in here are born again? Amen. You have experienced God's grace if you're born again. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That's another idiom. That's his face, his countenance. lifted up. God is happy with you. He's favoring you. And give you peace. I'm going to tell you something. In the world we live in today, I mean, I'm talking about the whole world. I'm not just talking about America with America's problems. There's problems all around the world. And if all you did was worry about the world's problems, you say, well, Pastor, I ain't got time to worry about the world's problems. I got problems myself. That's true. But the commanded blessing says that God will give you peace. And I'm 110% confident that the peace of God is the peace that Jesus talked about when he said it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm at peace when I ought to be a wreck. But somehow I got peace in the middle of this storm. I'm at peace. That's a blessing, isn't it? Is that not a blessing? Sure. Remember, God, the God we serve, is a God of blessing. All right? Then he says in verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Glory to God. God is a God of blessing. Now, I want you, if you would, may one or two more scriptures. What time did we start? 10:30. Okay. I want you to turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, page 1436. Now, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a little bit in Jesus' life. All right, he's born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem in Hebrew. House of bread. Also known as the city of kings. Okay? David was born there. All right? That's where David was from. And Jesse, his father. It's also, scholars believe that that's the place where they raised the Passover lambs. Amen. How about that? Our Passover lamb born in the place where they raised the Passover lambs. How about that? So Jesus finally comes. He's 30 years old now, and he comes down to the Jordan River, and John the Baptist is baptizing. Right? Matthew 3. And they have a little argument between the two, a little discussion. Jesus says, hey, I need you to baptize me, John. Oh, no way, man. I need you to baptize me. He said, no, I need you to baptize me. And so John baptized him. Now, you go to this church, you know why John had to baptize him, right? Because any high priest had to be baptized by somebody from the priestly lineage. And John had a double dose because his father, Zechariah, was a priest. And his mother, Elizabeth, was of the lineage of Aaron, or Aaron, the first high priest. Amen? So John had a double dose. So the high priest has got to be baptized by another priest. Then this woman with an alabaster box of ointment comes and breaks it over Jesus' head, anoints him. See, the high priest had to be anointed with oil, right? Then, y'all know the story there in, Matthew 26, yeah, where they bring Jesus before Caiaphas, and they've smacked him around, they've beat on him some, and then Caiaphas puts him on under oath, and he says, are you the Son of God? And because he's under oath, he's got to tell the truth. He says, it is as you say. And what old Caiaphas do? Tears his garment, right? See, the priestly garment could not be torn. If you tear your priestly garment, you annul your priesthood. So Caiaphas does us all a big favor. Because Jesus is the Passover lamb. But only the priest, the high priest, can offer up that Passover lamb. Only the high priest went in and sprinkled the blood of bulls and goats on the mercy seat, right? So Caiaphas does us a big favor. He tears his garment and annuls his priesthood. Now our Savior Jesus can go to the cross at Calvary, not only as the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, but he goes as our high priest, offering up that sacrifice. And just to make you know that he is your high priest, we're going to read a verse of scripture here in Luke 24. Luke 24. Oh, praise you, Jesus. You know what? Let's just start in verse 44. We'll make this the last. I got about six more. We'll make this the last. Then he said to them, now this is after his resurrection, okay? He's already resurrected. Remember, I think he stayed with them 40 days, and he taught them, Acts 1 tells us. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ or the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, hold your finger there. I'm going to give you a quick commercial. All right? Got your finger there? We're coming up on Rosh Hashanah. A better name for Rosh Hashanah is Yom Terah, or Teruah. Which means it's the Feast of Trumpets, or the Day of the Trumpets, when they blow the trumpets. And then after that day, you got 10 days before Yom Kippur, the High Holy Day, that one day a year when God forgave the children of Israel of their sins. But 30 days before Yom Teruah is called Teshuvah. Repentance is what that means. So starting on the 19th of September, no, August 19th, we'll start our 40-day Daniel fast, okay? Because there's 30 days leading up to Yom Teruah, or the blowing of the trumpets, Feast of Trumpets, called repentance, where you're supposed to check your heart. You're supposed to make sure you don't have any ought against anybody. And if you do, then you need to go make it right. You need to repent and go make it right with them. Even pay restitution if necessary. All right? So, for every bad word that you said about me, I actually have a good pastor friend. When they started teaching this at his church, two people came up to him and said they said some bad things about him. And they ask him to forgive him, and they both give him $100. I said, was that the first time you'd ever been mad at somebody giving you $100? He said, a little bit. But he said the $100 did smooth it over. So. Yes, it did. So he made restitution. All right? Now, you don't have to give me $100. You know. But I do need you to pray. And I want to do this. On this 40-day fast, I want you to search your heart really deep, because I want you to do something. I want you to make sure that you can spend 30 minutes a day praying for God. You find out what is the one desire you would like to see in your life, or maybe it's a loved one's life. And you be tenacious in that 40 days of prayer. Amen? And when you come in next Sunday, I want you to have that written on a piece of paper in an envelope. And we'll put it up here. Nobody's going to look at it. When we get done, we'll burn them. But we want to make sure every time we're together, we're praying for that desire that you have. Amen? So that's... It actually begins, the 19th is actually the 18th at sundown, or 6 o'clock of August. All right? Now, let's get back to our service. You got the commercial. Here we go. 47, we'll read it again. and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He's talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. Watch. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Bernie, show him how he lifted up his hands. Look at that. Bernie does that easy. Okay. I'm not a betting man. But if I was, I would bet that the new high priest did exactly like Aaron did. And he blessed them. And he blessed them as their new high priest. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now, look at there. Jesus blessed them and they blessed God. How do you bless God? How do you bless God? By showing him respect. Or kneeling before him and showing him respect. Or, in Judaism, there's over 100 blessings that are said to God. When you pray and thank God for a meal, you're blessing God. You're thanking him. You're showing gratitude to him. Amen. When I get up in the morning, I always try to thank God. He gave me a new day. And sometimes I'll say, I hope today is better than yesterday. You ever have one of them? But if you don't take anything else away from this sermon, I want you to know that God wants you blessed. Amen. You and me help me with communion. All right, Mia, here you go. I'm going to give you the big one. Can you handle it? All right, I thought you could. While they're passing that out, Bernie, see if anybody needs an offering envelope. Please. Anybody need an offering envelope? Praise his mighty name. We'll take communion and we'll take up the offering. So don't be trying to run out. I'll have you tackled in the back. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen.
Here at the altar where I run to rest, where I wait resurrection.
Tell you, when I look at the history of America, we look all the way back to Patrick of Ireland, see all the people God used and orchestrated, the great lengths God went to create the United States of America. It's just truly awesome. Everybody been served. Amen.
In water baptized.
Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. Father, we thank you 2,000 years ago. You knelt to all mankind and gave us the gift of your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that your body, that you willingly allowed your body to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes, we are healed and made whole. And Lord Jesus, this morning, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we eat of your body this morning. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three. One, two, three. L'chaim. To life. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be shed and poured out at Calvary so that we could be partakers of that life. Not just mere partakers, but that we could have it, life, and have it more abundantly. And Lord Jesus, as a symbol of our vow of fidelity and faithfulness, until you come, with thanksgiving in our heart, we take and drink of your life this morning.
Is what is called glory.
Lift your hands up one more time. Oh, Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. Father, I ask that you would bless and keep us, Lord God. Let your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lift your countenance upon us and give us peace, and place your name, your authority, your power upon us as your people. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen. One more prayer. Father, we thank you for seed we sow in your kingdom. We thank you, Father, and place that seed in the hand of a mighty God, that you'll multiply it, you'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.